perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Alright! We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Alright! We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills. Tonight!
Well, hello and welcome to episode 201 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. Please visit patreon.com/grills today to help us out. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12, and I'm joined by my co-host Linda today.
Hello.
Ray couldn't make it. She had a prior commitment, and we wish her all the best. So, what have... And today's topic, we are going to be talking about Lovecraft Country. We'll talk about the book, the show, the topic, the author, rewriting things. I think it's going to be an interesting discussion about this show that it was recently announced that they will not be making a second season that I have enjoyed very much. So what have you been up to, Linda?
I've been making stuff like normal. Let's see what I've got here.
It's like, are you off the pouch kick enough that I see you're actually crocheting?
Yes, I have a couple of things. So I finished this dragon hood that I've been working on. And it basically... Hold on. goes over your head. Oh, thusly. And this little thing goes around and... It doesn't work so well with my Mickey ears. But so... Funny thing about the hood is that back when I bought the yarn for it, I wanted to buy very specific colorways. It's the Red Heart Gemstone line. It was the ruby color. But they were out because it was the middle of the pandemic and their shipping had been interrupted. And so even, you know... On the rare days that I would go out there, I couldn't find it, and I couldn't order it. So I was like, all right, fine. So I had to get this, and I finally, like, have made the hood. The day I got done with this, I had to go find more stuffing. I had to go get more stuffing, because I was completely out of stuffing for making stuff. And I happened to go into the yarn section and... What was on the shelves, but the ruby colorways in that I wanted. And I was like, guess I'm making another one. So I actually grabbed, it's now in production right now. I grabbed two more of the color that I actually wanted, and I'm making another hood. I also have finished two little dead crewmates. With little bones sticking out of them. So I've got a blue one and a pink one.
Don't let me, I'm gonna die! That's morbid as fuck. I love it.
I have an idea of how to make one of the imposters that can actually open up. Like, it'll look like a crewmate, but then you can open up and it'll have teeth inside. So it'll do the rawr thing. But I have to, like, write out that pattern and figure out how it's going
to
go.
Figure out how to make a flappy Canadian head.
I have to flap it. To flap it. I have made a mimic before, and it looked like a regular box until you popped it open, and then there were teeth and a tongue inside. So I've made such things in the past. I thought I was going to finish my Yellow Yoshi before we got started, but... So I will be finishing him up as we're talking, I guess, because right now he has 1 foot and no head spikes and no arms. But he's a Yoshi. I'm going to make them all in the different colorways that they have, because I think that's really fun. Give me anything and I'll make rainbows out of it. So, I made some homemade ice cream again. I used a different recipe than... the one I used last time, because that was super labor intensive and I didn't want to do it again. So I made some, not with a custard base, it was just a cream base, and it's quite lovely.
Yummy.
So that's what I've been doing.
That Yoshi is really cute. The shaping on it is impressive to me. Like, it's for you to crochet things into a pattern that have the actual weird Yoshi head shape and stuff.
Yeah. The body is one piece, and then the nose is a different piece, and the tail is a different piece. So that's sort of how you do that. So you're like, what can I do to make this weird?
And by the way, Liv, my son's friend, loved the Pokemon.
Oh, the Shinx?
Shinx, yeah. That I'm you glad. Made her for her birthday that we commissioned. It's like, right. I feel like my sons are good at thoughtful gifts. They've got that part figured out. Like, what am I going to do? They don't make her favorite Pokemon a plushie. I got somebody.
I know a guy.
Yeah, I know a guy. So,
what about you?
That and the security, I feel it's really good that, like, a couple of teenage, you know, three 17-year-olds went for burgers for a birthday party, and, like, giving plushies was just something they would do and not be embarrassed about, because they're cool kids.
Yeah.
So I went to another burlesque show. Big Mama D's House of Burlesque is back in action, and holy crap, everyone upped their game during the pandemic. It was a great show. my friend Leanne went with me, and Zig went, and Rob and I went. So that was fantastic. I am so happy. Although today I'm a little sad. Flamingo Review just announced their next show, but Rob has a gig that night, so I think we're going to miss that one. But I think Big Mama's is doing one in, like, October. I'm getting ready, but I'm also getting really nervous about my traveling. Like, going to Vegas, going to Oregon. And I worry about everything falling apart back home while I'm gone. And weather, and just, I don't know. But it's okay. I'll figure it out. I made some pickles. I have so many cucumbers coming in. They're going crazy, and even sharing them with the people that are helping in the garden. And I think what I'm going to have to do is show Rob sometime in the next few days how to make pickles so that cucumbers don't get wasted while I'm gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty... Well, I say this, but that's pretty easy. It's just you make the brine, and then you...
Yeah.
Put them in the brine for a while.
Yeah. I made bread and butter pickles for the first time this week, and oh, wow. Those were really good. This recipe was a winner. I'll be making a whole bunch more of those. I really like them. I made some dills, and then I went away overnight for a burlesque show, and I came back, and one of my sons had started eating them. I'm like, how delicious were those after one day? They weren't pickles yet, dude. If you'd asked, I'd have told you. I've got my sourdough revived. I pulled it out of the fridge, and I've been feeding it, and I've got a loaf working right now that I'll throw in the fridge overnight to continue to rise overnight, and I'm going to make a sourdough loaf tomorrow, and tomorrow I'll also be smoking 5 pounds of pea meal bacon I have, turning it into Canadian bacon. So being I'm going to have, like, fresh sourdough and freshly smoked Canadian bacon, there's going to have to be an Eggs Benedict in my future in the next few days. And before we went to burlesque,
yes, we went indeed,
and got Korean barbecue. I had never done it. I love it. 10 out of 10.
Oh, really?
We'll do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, it was hard to sell Rob on it. It's hard to get him to try things.
Fun.
Yeah, it's very much about the experience. You know, it's pricier than I would do all the time. And it's so hard to get Rob to try anything, but it was like, dude, you're grilling meat at your table. Like, if nothing, if you won't eat anything else that we're given, it'll be okay. But we both really, really enjoyed it. So, on to our topic, Lovecraft Country. And Linda started watching it, watched some of it. I watched all of it. We were devouring it every night until we ran out of episodes. It was recently announced that they will not return for a second season. Granted, they did do the whole book. It is based on an actual book. But there were plans and there were things being written. And so I find it unfortunate it will not be returning. Anyone who wants to watch it who hasn't, it's on HBO. And
it's HBO Max or just HBO? Yeah. I can't remember.
Whatever, HBO streaming.
Max. Yeah.
Yeah, what I finally got, so I got to watch some of this stuff. But the book is called Lovecraft Country. It's by Matt Ruff. And it's in a really interesting premise. Because, I mean, anyone familiar with horror knows Lovecraftian horror. Right? It's become an entire genre. Unfortunately, H.P. Lovecraft, there's a lot of racist shit in there. And this author kind of took that on.
It's really... Yeah.
What?
I was going to say, it's really hard to read the original. Like, it the is. Original stuff. It's really unfortunate. Yeah. In some of its...
And, like, Rob rereads them and stuff, and I can't. It pulls me out of it, like the actual just offensive stuff, in a way that it
there's a really
when I was younger.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
But anyway, this guy sets his story. It's Lovecraftian horror, but it's written in the Jim Crow America, and they take on so many amazing. Lingering social topics, but it's not heavy-handed about it. I actually ended up in a discussion with a friend of mine at the bar about that last night. He was just like, that show is so good at just not being heavy-handed about it, but saying everything that they wanted to say with the stories themselves. And it feels so good to be,
I actually have
the genre back for people of color. And that's, I know, a mission. Jordan Peele was one of the people that helped produce this show. And he's kind of been on a mission for that for years now.
I really enjoyed, there's some aspects of, because I didn't watch from, beginning. I've seen some episodes, but I don't know where they are in the timeline, and that probably, doesn't help with how confused I was, but they were neat. But I watched a set of episodes where they had to go into this underground chamber, and it was really Indiana Jones-esque, and I loved it. It was like this, it was like a pulp feeling to it, and I was like, yes, this is neat.
It was set in it, and I can see you could watch them out of order, but there's a lot of big story things that unfold too, so I would recommend watching them in sequence because it helps you get attached to the characters too, but it does jump around a couple times the way they did the TV series where all of a sudden it's like, oh well, this one kind of could have stood on its own. But they do come back and wrap things later that get introduced in episodes like that.
I really enjoyed the ones that I did watch, and I was intrigued by it because it's not the only kind of Lovecraft theme that has kind of been. I don't want to say. And this one's not rewritten because this is from the book that was by a different author, but there have been a lot of Lovecraft stories that people have rewritten to be more inclusive. Like, I know that Color Out of Space did that with
That
some of its weird characters as hell. That movie's weird as hell. what else? There was another one that has come out not recently, but it's a Lovecraft story. There was some retelling that I had heard of Call of Cthulhu. And if you don't know the story of Call of Cthulhu, spoilers, I guess, and this is going to make no sense to you. they made the protagonist a person of color, and then they had like the dude that faced down Cthulhu or whatever, or no, they made the cop crooked. They made him a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it was an interesting way to like turn, it was still the story, but they turned it on its head a little bit and they fixed it. there's a lovely, you know, I love my overly sarcastic productions. They did a fantastic like breakdown of a bunch of Lovecraft stories. And she was like, look, this is bad. Like, is this racist?
Yeah, this is so racist. Yeah, I watched that episode back when you first introduced me to that show. And I can't ignore it. But like that, it's a whole genre, and for it to be gone, was like kind of heartbreaking. I mean, one of my favorite role playing games is Stalking the Night Fantastic. It's a Call of Cthulhu game, but I mean, the racism didn't make it into there, and you're playing your player characters, right, and writing your own stories. So, I mean, it was another way, I guess, I could still enjoy the genre, but not. Until recently, I don't think these rewrites were something people would take on. Like, there might have been some rewrites in fan fiction out there, but things like this book and now this series and the whole George Floyd murder drawing attention to how much is left over and still existing in our society due to Jim Crow laws lasting so long. And they are enforced up to 1965. People think this is distant past. I wondered if the author of the book, Mike Ruff, if he named the lead character Atticus on purpose. Like, as a nod to Kill a Mockingbird. It's not like it's a common name.
That's true, and maybe he did, or maybe that was a more common name back when he said it. During that time period, because that would have been the 60s, 40s, 50s.
Well, when did the movie To Kill a Mockingbird came out? That's what I'm wondering. Because like it was set in the Great Depression, right? And then, but I think it came out in a different time. I don't know. It was just a thing that occurred to me. I was like, I wonder if he named that character that on purpose.
I mean, it's possible.
Because, you know, if people haven't read that book, nice nod. Read that book.
A nice nod to literary books of the past.
Yes. The book was published in 1960.
So. Okay, that makes sense.
But I really like it. I mean, it's such a great blending of, I mean, not only are you getting Lovecraftian horror you can watch in a context that's not uncomfortable, it's a very black point of view, and that's so nice to see, and like, people of color have been left out of the genre for so long, but it's got, like, a lot of fictional period drama going on.
Yeah.
Like, historical, but then, like, they've really, I don't know. They had some real historical figures in it that you get to meet. So, it's kind of got everything. Sci-fi and fantasy and horror.
And pulp.
And pulp.
Pulp. You have to be careful when you say pulp fiction because it's not pulp fiction. It's the genre of pulp that is fiction.
Yeah.
It's very neat.
I started reading the book, and I'm just like a few pages in. But one thing I thought was really interesting reading the book, because there's going to be obviously a point of view change, because you can't do this stuff on TV. It seems to be focusing very much on the Safe Negro Travel Guide. Like, that's a business that his family has in town there, and it's like, it's kind of a weird, like, everything is segregated most of the country still in this time period they set it in. So there's like a travel guide so you can stay safe. Like, here's the counties where you can't be out after dark if you're, and here's a, in this town, a restaurant that will serve you, and here's a bathroom you're allowed to use. So, like, there's a safe Negro travel guide. And the way, even in the first couple pages, it's written where he's constantly, like, when he has to go walk down the road because it's flat tire, he puts it in his pocket to take with him, and he looks in it for a restaurant, and he looks in it for this. And it was, in my head, it was like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Like, it was...
Yeah.
I imagine the Don't Panic cover.
Oh, boy.
But it really focuses on, like, it's that kind of point of view so far in the book, where it's Atticus and he's traveling and he keeps referring to his guide. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if the rest of the books unfolds that way, because it's certainly not how it was done for the HBO series.
Right. Although that would have been an interesting... I don't think it would have been uninteresting if they had done that. But maybe they couldn't put as much emphasis on there because of the different media. Like, it's really... It's much more difficult than people believe to translate a book to a movie and make it a good movie. I've seen a not-so-great book get translated almost verbatim to a really not good movie. So it's harder than people think it is.
And I'm certain of that. I mean, there's a million reasons. That could be a whole show. I think we did one.
Yeah.
I expect that it just translated into the show, because there was a lot of stuff at the beginning where he was reading constantly, and then he was reading, like, what his father read and the interest they had. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of references to books in general instead of this constant reference to the guide and the business. And then, of course, all of that falls off as they really get into the depth of the horror and the secret cabal and everything and the sacrifices and all the very Lovecraftian yuckiness.
Yes.
And gore. And magic.
It's
a lot more actual magic than I remember in traditional Lovecraft stories. Like, there's always this weirdness happening, and you're trying to figure out what the weirdness is, and then it's some kind of old god, otherworldly yuck.
And just evil, usually in, like, Lovecraft, you see the result of magic. You don't necessarily see the magic part of it.
Yeah, and this
and is...
more actual characters that were actively doing magic.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, remember, the whole shtick of Lovecraft, where Lovecraftian horror is the fear of the unknown. So, yeah. If you don't see them doing magic-y bits, you just, something happens, they gasp, what could it have been?
It's always something really, really awful. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I love the show. I think everyone should watch it. I'm a little sad they're not going to do another one. But I guess that's better than risking overextending themselves and it being bad. Because I don't think Matt Ruff, the author of the book, was involved in writing the stuff they were writing. It was the director-producer woman was writing the new stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know how, like, I don't know if they're just... if this is how it works in, like, TV Hollywood. I don't know if they just are putting it down, if maybe someday someone might come back to it and either make, like, a reboot or some sort of new thing or pick up, because it's very rarely that do people that pick up a TV show that has been, like, canceled for a season.
Yeah, like, a lot of this, it was only, like, in the last couple weeks, all of a sudden, they, I guess, let out the news there wasn't going to be another season, but the season finale aired last October, and at that time, they pitched the new stuff, but then they just decided
to maybe that
not.
They didn't, it might have been a combination of things of, you know, maybe whoever producers weren't happy with where it was going, or... stuff with COVID-19, you know, and then that would have influenced it. I don't know. I don't know how that necessarily works.
Yeah, and all the stuff I, you know, read about it, it was just, there's nothing but conjecture on exactly why. It was just ultimately, there's details in this story on Deadline.com about what they had laid out and how far they got and what their vision was for the coming up with a take on a second season. And then they just decided to not proceed. Like, well, that's not very informative.
No, but I mean, maybe they had like put everything out and looked at it and decided it wouldn't have served the original like vision, like the original story. I don't know.
Right. I mean, sure that would have to be so hard.
Yeah, I'm sure that like obviously they would want to, you know, produce more and, you know, rake in that lovely sweet money, but you know,
I think maybe they would definitely have been risking a cheese factor, because by the end of it, I mean, this family becomes just kind of a kick-ass team fighting evil, you know. And
well, and then at that point, it's not really Lovecraftian anymore, is it?
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, so they ended exhausted and tired, and some of them died and, you know, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But if they had kept coming back to fight instead of actually losing their sanity, which is that unique aspect of Lovecraftian horror that seems to permeate a lot of other systems and games and books and movies, that idea then of losing your mind.
They would have just become the X-Men.
Yeah. risk turning into Ghostbusters. No one wants that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, on the one hand, it would have been interesting to see where they went with it, but on the other, maybe they, you know, there's probably a lot of mitigating factors of why it stopped, but maybe there was a sense of, if we keep going with this, we're gonna lose the integrity. But I don't know. Yeah. The way that most TV networks work, even as I said that sentence out loud, you know, I was like, integrity. They're concerned about money, but you know.
But the producers of this are super invested, and they were part of this decision too. And I think it was the network didn't just put a kibosh on it. Like Misha Green and Jordan Peele, and because his company and what, there was another company involved in that actually made it. Where is it? Darn it. Oh, and there's a map that is really neat in this article. Bad Robot, that's what I was thinking. Bad Robot and Monkey Paw were involved. But anyway, there was the director who was pitching the new season had tweeted out a map of her idea, like, here's a taste of the season 2 Bible, which we could have brought you Lovecraft Country 2 Supremacy. And it was like, has this whole map of the United States. So it kind of was like an alternate timeline going forward, where there's like the tribal nations of the West, and then like the whole Midwest belt is the White Lands. And then the South is like the new Negro Republic. And then up like New York, Connecticut, Maine is Jefferson Commonwealth. So this is definitely going to be like a parallel history is where she was going to go.
I still think, you know, maybe not Lovecraft Country, but maybe she could do as just a new IP. That would be interesting.
Yeah. This map reminds me of like Man in the High Tower. Attack on how it would have gone. Like, it would have just alternate timeline. It could have gone like this. So anyway, I recommend it to everybody. I'll let you know what I think of the book, and how different it is. I'm sure it's not worse. That's seldom the case.
Well, I remember one of my friends has read the book, and he said it was pretty gnarly, but considering how the TV show was, if it's as gnarly as the TV show, then it's about on par.
I mean, it's Lovecraft. What did you expect? So, folks, let us
Yes.
know what you think. You can chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at geekgrills.
Tell us about your thoughts on, Lovecraft in general and the existential horror and everything smelling slightly of fish. Can I help you, Kat? So
Oh.
she just hopped up to say hello to me. I don't smell like fish.
If you
No.
did, you'd never get the cat off you.
Yeah. I finished the Yoshi while we were discussing.
So what are you looking forward to?
Well, we are actually going to have a date night, me and my husband, on Wednesday. We're going to go to one of the studio movie grills. We're going to have a dinner, and we're going to see Black Widow. So
Yay.
I think that's going to be our Wednesday night. And I am also looking forward to, well, I don't know if it's going to be this week, but I'm waiting for the Winterfest, the MomoCon Winterfest thing, because I signed up for an artist table. I'm waiting for them to get back to me, and I'm like, hopefully that'll be in the next week or so, because the deadline was July 1st, and I know they have to go through all the applications. And I'm
Oh
like,
boy.
I would like an answer, please. So
Need to
hopefully they'll
plan.
be. Yes, hopefully they'll be getting back to me, and of course I'll be making more things as I always do.
Well, I am headed to Vegas on Friday. I'm going to go to the Jen's wedding. I'm going to see old friends. And then I'm going to Oregon to see my daughter and my granddaughter. And then
Yay.
I'm coming home on the 21st. And then I might travel again. I'm going to see how I hold up after the first set of traveling. But my folks back home have reserved our Dionysian camps. Base and I have friends, another friend down here who wants to travel up for that, so I would have someone help me drive. And I might be delivering a base to my nephew. So if I do that, I'll be leaving again a few days later and probably miss another week of the show because I'll be traveling. But I'm not sure yet. I
Yeah,
really want to
see
get
how you
home.
feel after coming back from one jet lag.
Yeah, like. I generally need a vacation for my vacation and 6 days in a completely different climate and time zone may take a hefty
Oof.
toll on my stupid autoimmune broken body. I mean, we'll see. Last time I flew home from Vegas, my legs swelled up like my sandals were tight. I had never had that happen before in my life. It was terrifying.
Yikes.
Not taking a red eye ever again. Nope. Oh, remember, folks, you can
Nope.
always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Next one will be July 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And Linda and Ray will be talking about Amber Ruffin.
Yes.
And I'll have to listen to it
Ray
because
knows
I
more
know
about it than
nothing.
I do, so.
I looked it up and I'm like, okay, she's a comedian, she's an actress. I think there's something she's actually doing. Ray, you want to
Yes.
talk about?
Yes, there's a show. We're
But
going to talk about
everybody, come in next week and you can hear all about it. In
it.
addition to the subs and bits we get on Twitch, we are supported by our patrons, the greatest grill friends on the internet. You've become a Patreon, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, at patreon.com/grills, and we will send you nifty little swag for helping us out. I've got earrings and keychains, and we have crewmates and all kinds of nerdy homemade stuff we make.
You can request a live or a dead crewmate. It's up to you.
And don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub for us to free every month on Twitch. Give us the Bezos bucks.
Yes. And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free and they help our ranking, which helps other people find our podcast. And you can join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word.
Where can we find you on the interweb?
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram, although I'm not on Twitch a lot, under the name madcap_misc, M-I-S-C. And you can check out my store at madcapm.com.
I can be reached at 9of12 on Twitter and Twitch. You can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. You can reach Ray on Instagram as Dappled Dame, and on Twitch as Ray Ino. And you can find everything the Jen does at thejensays.com. Go congratulate her on her wedding.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.